We live in volatile times. We've had volatile markets now for several weeks. And volatility can help you understand your tolerance for risk. Obviously, there is a lot of volatility now, especially with the possibility or the risk that a trade war could be on the way. And of course, we have seen administration advisors across the TV news shows just this very day talking about this subject. One of the questions coming up is, will there be exemptions from the 25% steel and 10% aluminum tariffs that were announced late this week? And the answer is, we don't know the answer to that. Because one of the people critical to that decision is Peter Navarro. He's the director of National Trade Council in the White House. Here's what he said today. Quote, there's a difference between exemptions and country exclusions. There will be an exemption procedure for particular cases where you need to have exemptions so that business can move forward. But at this point in time, there will be no country exclusions, unquote, the words of Peter Navarro, director of the National Trade Council in the White House. So we don't know whether there will be exemptions or not. It's too early to know. What we do know is that foreign officials are threatening retaliation, even though nothing yet has been signed into law. Nothing yet has been signed. So far, it's just been talk. But that doesn't matter because the president of the European Commission says that the European Union will target imports of U.S. merchandise. And he has particularly named Harley-Davidson and Levi Strauss, but there are many other areas of the economy that will be targeted if this goes through. Fact of the matter is, we don't know a whole lot yet because it was just announced a few days ago. We do know that from the history of trade wars, that they lead to economic trouble and they lead to trouble of all sorts in the trade account. Trade is very important. And the imposition of a 25% tariff on imported steel and a 10% tariff on imported aluminum will increase the prices of these imports. Of course, consumers will pick up the tab, as they always do, when tariffs occur. Now, many of the countries that produce steel and aluminum are rock-solid allies of the United States. I speak of Canada, Mexico, South Korea, and Japan in particular. And by the way, Canada is a huge exporter of aluminum. The United States gets 43% of its aluminum supply from Canada. And the other situation that investors are looking at is the NAFTA talks, which are now in round 7 in Mexico City. They're ongoing, and this has created a new risk for the NAFTA talks. And as far as retaliation is concerned, it's inevitable. Other countries are not going to stand idly by and allow tariffs on their exports while without striking back. And we don't know the full scope of what will happen because so far it's just talk. Although people are reacting to it as though it's happened, it's just talk so far. And if it happens, then that's round 2. Now, the United States has already placed tariffs on imported lumber, on washing machines. Adding steel and aluminum would be another step toward restricting trade. And watch autos. Autos are a huge area of the economy. Watch autos. Obviously, the U.S. is a consumption-heavy country. We import many products. We're not the only one that has a lot on the import account. China imports half of its steel. They are not a major steel player with the U.S. As a matter of fact, China only exports 3% of U.S. steel and 6% of U.S. aluminum. They're not a big player here in those two areas. But there are big players. There are big dogs in steel. And those include Canada, Mexico, and South Korea. Canada is a gargantuan player in the aluminum business. And there are all kinds of things that countries can do. They can sell treasuries. They can, I mean, we have trillions of dollars of treasuries that are owned overseas. About 30% of our publicly traded treasuries are owned overseas. So foreign countries can, if they want, they can sell treasuries. They have to be careful, though, because if they sell treasuries and bring that money back home, then that could hurt their trade account. They have to be careful what they're doing with that kind of thing. China Steel Association has made a statement about the tariff announcement. Here is their quote, "A stupid trade protection measure," unquote. That's the China Steel Association reaction. And the irony here is China is not a big importer of steel to the U.S. Only 3% of our steel comes from China. Tariffs have a bad history. They make production inefficient. They increase prices to the consumer. All we have to do is look at 1930, the Smoot-Hawley tariff debacle, which was one of the contributing factors to the Great Depression. If you're a Money Talk regular, you know me. We've talked about free trade on this broadcast for decades, literally for decades. And the reason is because job protectionism does not work in a global economy. It may have worked many, many years ago. It doesn't work anymore. It is a global economy. And we have to keep an eye on the automobile industry because that is a really big deal. A lot of automobiles are imported into the United States. What can China do? In the trade account, they can put tariffs on soybeans, corn, beef. They can put restrictions on U.S. companies doing business in China. There are a lot of things they can do. And they're very unhappy about this announcement, but as I say, it's early. It's very early in this saga. Automobiles are huge. Germans imports to the USA $25.5 billion, while the U.S. exports to Germany less than $7 billion in automobiles. So what's that? 3.5 to 1. 3.5 to 1 German imports over U.S. exports in the automobile sector. The reason I mentioned that tariffs, which are just taxes placed at the border, are rough on consumers is because companies have to pass them along in the cost of the product. Otherwise, they have to reduce their profit margin and decrease their corporate profits. And that's why they generally elect to pass them on to consumers, which, of course, is inflationary. As you know, we've been watching interest rates. We've been watching interest rates increase. We've been watching inflation very closely for signs that that could get to a dangerous level. These tariffs are inflationary. So many things can go on. Did you see the Electrolux company announcement, the European company? They are now reconsidering their investment in Tennessee of a $250 million facility because of this tariff talk. And that's just one example of what is going on out there. Now, the Democrats favor the tariffs. As a general rule, they favor the tariffs in order to try to protect union jobs. Union jobs, one of their constituencies would be unions. And so the Democrats are in favor. The Republicans are very unhappy as a general rule about this. The GOP has been vocalizing their dissatisfaction with this because they know the tariffs have never worked and they won't work this time. And as I say, we've spoken out against tariffs through all the administrations for over 30 years. On Money Talk. And hopefully this dreadful idea, this really stupid idea, will be ashamed, will be reversed, I should say, before it does any real damage. And certainly anybody, and let me be very clear about where I stand on this, because I've felt this way for 30 years plus on Money Talk. Anyone in government that supports tariffs should be ashamed of themselves for not knowing history. That's what they should be ashamed about. Because if they study the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930, they will learn what happens when you institute tariffs. Anyone involved in the government promoting tariffs should be ashamed of themselves for promoting such a lame, bogus concept. It makes no sense.